Jesus' name. On a Wednesday night, church, on a Wednesday night, the Lord has the liberty to flow. Don't take that for granted, and don't let anything bind that move of God that we have. Don't let anybody, anything, don't let any spirit of the enemy bind the flow of the Holy Ghost. It's what it took to save us, and that's what it's going to take to keep us saved. Amen. Thank you so much for being present tonight and allowing the Holy Ghost to flow so freely. Directing your attention to Luke chapter 6. Have quite a bit of reading. There is no way I can preach and cover everything that we will read in our text, but it is what I felt the Holy Ghost directing me to, and so strongly this week I cannot get away from it. And so I feel that I need to address it. We are dealing with our fourth lesson entitled God's Call to Holiness, and seems like every week God just tells me something else to bring us further in that realm of holiness. In Luke chapter 6, verses 22 through 36, quite lengthy reading. We'll not cover all of it in preaching, but I will cover, I believe, the principle behind it. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not gain. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them to whom ye hope to receive, what thank ye, or what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Very strong, sovereign reading. Let us stand and reverence what we have just read. Place our Bibles beside us tonight. And could we just lift our hands in humility and just say, God, It's hard what we've read, but we humbly desire to submit to the wills of God. And Lord, I pray right now that somehow a sovereign move of God can come into this place with a humbleness and a contriteness, with tears flowing down our cheeks and a broken heart, that we can submit to the Word of God and that we can be pleasing to You and be obedient, Lord. Lord, as pastor, I stand in this pulpit and I am trying to teach a great, beautiful congregation to be reverent to You and reverent to Your words and reverent to Your will. And Lord, I pray tonight that the principles of God would be in the right places in my heart, that I would be a proper teacher tonight to teach such things and to preach such things, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could you clap your hands unto the Lord and bless His holy name? You may be seated. The Word of God introduces challenges to our faith. And the Word of God introduces challenges to the love of God that is in our heart. Often we will wake up in the morning and God may challenge us with a thought or may impress us to do this or that. And it challenges our faith. And we struggle because we're not able to really step out with the freedom and the liberty we should have, because it's beyond that place where we comfortably live for God. We will get all enthused at times when we're reading the Word of God, and we'll get a hold of passages, and we'll see where blessings, and we'll see praises, and we'll see God doing great things, and we'll see all kinds of wonderful passages of Scripture, and it seems to offer so much to us without asking very little in return. And sometimes it blesses us that way, and we just go on and carry on about our Bible reading that day. But what we may not realize is the reason we were so excited, as we are entitled to so many promises, but those particular scriptures didn't reveal the cost of the promises. Our spiritual taste buds really come to life when we are feasting on the types of scriptures that promise a return unto us without any great challenge or sacrifice from us. But without warning, it seems we turn the page and boom, it gets a little bitter to the taste. It becomes challenging to our faith, and it becomes somewhat a hardship upon us to persevere without surrendering and giving more of our heart to God. Suddenly, if we are not careful, we could lose interest in what the Bible has to say, and we could go on our way, not accepting the challenge that God has placed before us. We could close the Bible somewhat like the We must realize in 2015 that one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking people, as we read the Word of God, as we live for God, the Lord is going to continually to nudge us into a deeper relationship with God. It's going to become more of a challenge. It's going to become less shallow, and the waters are going to be deeper. I know in this congregation we have new converts and we have seasoned saints, and everybody is at a different stage in serving God. And I pray that every person would be mature enough to understand that not everybody's in the same place with God. But at the same time, we as mature Christians can't rebel against our calling and our position and go and run and try to act like or live like a new convert. God is expecting more from you and I that is 25 years down the road. He's expecting more from you and I that may be 25 or more years down the road. He's expecting a consecration. He is expecting a dedication that is deep and that is moving in our soul. He expecting you and I to do things out of love for Him. He's expecting you and I to have a love that brings discipline to our heart, and discipline to our tongue, and discipline to our lifestyle. And so as we begin to see these kind of challenges set into our life, we can close the Bible and pretend we never saw it, pretend we never read it. We can sort of sit in a church service and pretend we hear, but go out and never be changed. I pray tonight that somehow in the next few minutes I can challenge this church, wherever you are, in whatever walk of life you're in, whatever state of living for God that you're in. I pray tonight with a heaviness and with a burden in my soul that I can challenge every person, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl to tighten and to come to Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Tonight I come with a heaviness. The Lord sometimes gives me visions. He shows me things. And yesterday morning, He showed me some things early in the morning. And it just disturbed me. And He gave me basically a heads up on what I would encounter through the day. But I want you to realize that when we walk with God and we have a relationship with God, He's trying to teach us things that will cause us to conform to Him in a greater way. I want you to realize that this church is not some kind of little playhouse. It's not something that's phony or fake. This is a real house of God. And this is where we come to learn a real relationship with God. And this is where we come to develop a real walk with God. And this is where we come to prepare ourselves to leave this old world and enter into heaven. As I find myself a pastor in 2015 with the heavy burden and the heavy weight of souls upon me, I come to tell you, I don't know when God's coming. I really don't know when He's returning. I don't know if we're going to face tribulation. I don't know if it'll be pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. I don't know where He's coming back at. But let me remind you again, as I did Sunday night, let us prepare ourselves now for whatever could come down the pike. We must have a walk with God now that prepares us for what comes then. Are you with me? It won't be time to get ready. It won't be time to pray through. It won't be time to fast 3 days. It won't be time to line up. The time to fast is now. The time to pray is now. The time to line up is now. The time to fall in love with Jesus is now. Could somebody bless the name of the Lord? I am teaching with such a gravity tonight and for the past several services because I don't want you to be caught off guard. I would rather for you to go to heaven and tell somebody on the streets of gold, Brother Causey could have preached half what he preached and we'd have still been saved, than to be in hell and wish Brother Causey would have preached it stronger and truer. I am not trying to make this hard. I don't want to make this hard. I don't believe it's hard for apostolics to go to heaven. Because when we're full of the Holy Ghost, It won't be hard to shun evil. It won't be hard to guard our tongue. It won't be hard to live holy. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, it won't be hard to shove the world aside. It won't be hard to step into a prayer room. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, it won't be hard to put a time aside and for the reading of the Word. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, it won't be hard to hug our neighbor and love our neighbor. It won't be hard to look at our enemy and have compassion for their soul. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, are we okay tonight? If it ever gets too hard for you, just get another dose of the Holy Ghost. Precious time, I know, is passing. It's Wednesday night. But I want you to know that the burden and the heaviness is on me to prepare a church for whatever ISIS decides to do. I want to give you something, and I want to preach something to every person in this building that will prepare you where you can make good decisions and right decisions. When Antichrist spirits is coming against you and hell is hitting you in every way and the people at school's doing crazy things, I want to preach a message to you, but beyond my words, I want to have an anointing in my heart that comes through here and you can get a hold to it, and it's power to stand holy, power to be pure, power to be undefiled, power to be ready to meet Jesus. You need more than words. We need an anointing that'll destroy the yoke. And before you can ever get it over this pulpit, I've got to have it. Some people wonder what pastors do every day. I hope the people who have the Holy Ghost in this building can sense what I'm doing. I'm trying to prepare myself to be a pastor that'll save people's souls. I'm trying to read and I'm trying to study. I'm trying to fast and I'm trying to prepare. I'm trying to be the kind of man of God that you can reach and get a hold of the messages I preach and the anointing of God that comes over this pulpit that'll spare you and your children from hell. It doesn't come from prayerlessness. It doesn't come from a lack of study. It doesn't come from a lack of passion. It doesn't come from a lack of commitment. It comes from being willing to feel a nudge at 1 o'clock in the morning. And God, a place, a man or a woman before you. You may even see your own enemy and hear their words that they speak. And then he says, intercede for their soul. You got to intercede with genuineness, not phoniness. You got to intercede with Holy Ghost power and compassion. Do you know how to intercede for a man's soul that hates you? You got to love their soul. What are you talking about, Pastor? We've come to a serious time in our world that if we don't have real holiness, we're on our fourth lesson of holiness and we've tightened the belt every time. And this number 4 is kind of tough. The Lord's given it to me, woke me up, teaching me. I want you to understand that in 2015, it's going to take a church that is willing to be the church. It's going to take a church that's sold out and ready to be what God has called her to be. It's going to take a people who says, I want to wear the wedding garment and I'm willing to pay the price. We won't achieve this kind of command of God and this kind of call when he says in Jesus' teaching, he says in Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven, perfect." We want to achieve this kind of command of God that is placed on our life through a formality of religiousness. We've got to have a supernatural connection with Him. You'll never love somebody's soul until you go to that realm of the Holy Ghost and you feel God's love for souls. You'll never be driven to the point of sacrifice to save somebody until you attach yourself with that realm of Jesus Christ that drove Him to pay it all and give it all to save you and me. Are we okay? This will save you, church. This will heal your body. This will cast out sin. This will cast out spirits of infirmity. This will cast out spirits of darkness and regions and realms of Satan of your soul. This will wash you and cleanse you. But you've got to hear it and you've got to be obedient to it. Holiness is like a bath. And when we apply ourselves to God's holiness, it's scrubbing our soul. It's scrubbing us up. It's washing us, and it casts out attachments, spiritual attachments. When we go through life, people says things, we touch things. I don't want to get too far into it, but satanic people will go to the grocery store and they'll attach those spirits and diseases and all kinds of things. I have prayed and cast out devils out of warlocks, and they've told me all this stuff, and they'll attach things. That's how they control the community in which they're going into. They will attach all these demons and all these spirits and they will attach it to all these products, and we go get it off of the shelf and bring it into our home. And that's why we are supposed to cover our homes in the blood of Jesus. We are supposed to pray over our homes. We are supposed to cover our lives and ourselves in the power of prayer. Are you with me? And when we walk into that place and we lay our hands on a loaf of bread in the name of Jesus, the devils has got to flee. It don't matter what kind of curse they put on anything. It don't matter. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to tell you what we're up against. And we've got the power of Jesus Christ in our life. When we live holy and pure and undefiled, when we reach and get a hold of something, it can't come in, because we're powerful and we're pure and we're holy and we're washed and we're clean. The devils have to flee at the very mention of the name of Jesus. Knees have to bow. The devil's knees have to bend. Their tongues have to confess that we're defeated. We cannot stay here. But when we're walking around with like a costume party, and we just look like a Christian, and we're void of holiness, and we're void of truth, and we're void of love, and we're void of commitment to God, and we reach and we grab these items of the world and we bring them in, the devil will be able to find room in our lives. Are we okay? We need something more than just outward holiness. Yes, we need to look like Christians. Yes, we need to talk like Christians. Yes, we need to have all the outside stuff. But if that's all we have, we're in trouble. We need our temple full of Jesus Christ. Remember, we won't achieve the command that we find in Matthew 5:48 about "be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We won't achieve this until we have come to the place where nothing else will satisfy us, where we're hungry, where we're passionate about becoming like Jesus. It will only come to us after we have made much effort to be like Jesus in every way. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. For an even more understanding of the effort Paul was putting forth to be like Jesus, this verse could be paraphrased perhaps in this manner, saying it this way: I run, I fight, I discipline my own body and bring it into subjection. It will take a great desire to be like Jesus, church. I am not up here trying to tell you we can patty cake, hiccup, burp a few times, and we'll be like Jesus. It's going to take a great effort. It's going to take a compliance with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind and strength and heart. We're not going to just sing a few beautiful hymns, and we're not just going to hear a few messages, and we're not just going to get happy clappy a few times and find ourselves in the image of Jesus Christ. It's going to take a committedness that leads us to the house of God every time the doors open. It's going to take a committedness that will cause us to be holy and pure on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and all over again. It's going to take some kind of compassion that drives us and forces us to stand for God no matter what's going on. It will take a great desire. The Word of God goes on to encourage us to be inspired by the promises of God to get into action. Bump your neighbor and say, get into action. Get into action. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all. Everybody say all. All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the what? Fear of God. I am so afraid, Mount Pisgah, that we are losing the fear of God. We need a reverence of God like we've never had before. Be careful. I don't want to get off on this because I'll cover it later. But be careful how we dress and come to the house of God. Wear the best that you possibly can wear. Don't wear it to show off, but wear it as a respect and a reverence to the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to make it where you have to dress up that where you feel like I can't go there. No, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish. But wear something that's respectful to God and where you want to show the Lord, I'm going somewhere that I reverence and that I love and that I want to reflect that reverence and that appreciation. The Word of God encourages us, and I want to say 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we don't have the fear of God, we will never truly perfect holiness. Holiness requires a great reverence to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he goes here, and I want you to catch this, let us cleanse ourselves. We often want to sit by and let God do all the work. But if we're truly going to accomplish some holiness, I'm talking about some real holiness, we're going to have to roll up our spiritual sleeves, so to say, and get to work ourselves and say, God, help me here. I don't really know how to get it done, but I'm going to work hard today. I'm going to reach for it with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to do everything I can, but I can't do it by myself. I need an anointing. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the power of God. I need you, oh God, to take me to that place. Hebrews 4 and 11, let us labor. Everybody say labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It takes labor. Everybody say it takes labor. Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth easily beset us. And let us run. Everybody say run. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Some people would call that an oxymoron. Because if you got patience, we often think they have patience if they're sitting there with their hands idly crossed. But give it all you got, young people. Give it all you got. Sell out to Jesus whatever thing you got. Labor to enter into that power. Labor to enter into that anointing. And keep your feet going for Jesus. Keep your life pointed in the right direction. Run with everything you got to holiness and truth. And be patient to allow God to unfold the rose in your life. In short, the Bible simply exhorts us to cleanse ourselves. Let us labor. Let us lay aside everything that hinders us. Everything that's quenching your prayer. Everything that hinders you from loving your neighbor. Anything that's going on that hinders your walk with God, get it out of your spirit. Hurry, 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 hurry. Get it out of your life and feel your life and your soul with the labors and the efforts and the desires to be full of the love of God. In our text tonight, we find that Luke 6:23 tells us to rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. In what day? When is it time to rejoice? When should we leap for joy? When is our reward great in heaven? In Luke chapter 6 verse 22 has the answer to all these questions. In Luke 6 and 22, blessed are ye when men shall what? Hate you. And when these shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. It would still be appropriate to read it this way. Blessed are ye when men shall hate ye. Blessed are ye when they shall separate you from their company. Blessed are ye when they reproach you. Blessed are ye when they cast out your name as evil. Blessed are ye. You get the picture? We must understand that not everybody's going to love us. Even though we're holy, even though we're praying, even though we're fasting, even though we're trying to be the best example, even though we can try to do the best job that anybody can possibly be, there are people who are not saved and ready to go to heaven that will not understand our effort. But we cannot afford to allow that to quench our love. We cannot afford to allow that to quench our walk with God. We cannot allow that to hinder our prayer life. We cannot allow that to stop us from walking with the Lord. We've got to keep loving Him. We've got to keep praising Him. We've got to stay pure. We can't hate somebody because they hate us. We've got to love them in spite of their hate toward us. This is holiness. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. This same thing happened to the prophets of old. So when we start getting it right here on earth, when we start getting it right there, it will start happening to us. The more pure we become, the more opposition we will face. the more we try to reach for holiness and correctness in God, the more people will try to work against us. It just comes with the territory. It just comes with the territory. Let me remind you here again, saints. Your pastor loves you. I'm the shepherd that stands in the gate. I intercede for you. But I want you to realize, as we allow the devil to attach things to our heart, it means that that's a place that God cannot control. And as if he was able to attach one thing, that means we are in a regressing stage. We had to regress in order to let the devil attach one thing. If we stay in that regression, the devil will be able to attach another thing. If we maintain that course, the devil will be able to attach another thing. And the room that God lives in becomes smaller. And the control and the hold of the devil on our life becomes stronger. You getting that? But if we reverse that tonight and we begin to pray and we commit our hearts to God and we repent of sin and we sell out to the Lord and we make a commitment to be holy and pure before the sight of God, then we turn that around and we take back what the devil stole from us and we move this out of our life and we let God set up camp in another area of our heart. And then we shove that devilish thing out of our life and we let God set up another camp in that area of our, and the power of God continues to spread throughout our life. And that's what we must do, church. We cannot find a place, put it in park, and say, I got the Holy Ghost one day, and just forget about the rest of the days. We need a commitment to God every day. We need a commitment to God every hour. We need a dedication and a heartfelt calling of God on our life every moment that passes, every day that comes by. We need a genuine love for the Lord. Can we lift our hands? Can we call on the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I continue with my notes, I'm afraid we're going to lose what we have right here. Why don't we just go ahead and just stand and keep our hands lifted all over this place right now. And let's reverently take in everything that God is doing. You can come to the altars. You can step out and make your way to the altar if you need to. Let's surrender to Jesus right now. But as you're finding your way to the altar, let me tell you, as this church tightens up and as we find more holiness, there are people that are not going to be comfortable with it. And if those people doesn't surrender to God and they don't surrender to what God's calling us to, the darkness in the heart will have to leave, and that darkness will take us with them. It'll take us with those spirits. That darkness will take us out of the house of God. We may find other places to go and kind of justify our motion, but then we'll still have the darkness to deal with. Let us surrender to God now. Let us get rid of the darkness now. Let us get rid of the sin now. Let us get rid of the unsubmitted nature now. Let's get rid of the worldliness now. Don't let it take us out of the church. Don't let it cause it to move us around here and there and yonder. Come on in. Come on to the call of holiness. Come on to the commitment of God. Come on to this lesson four. And let us get to that place where we can pray for our enemies, love our neighbors, call on God, and love souls like we've never loved them before. Don't love people just because they love us. Love them because Jesus loves them. Intercede for them because Jesus needs you to intercede for them. Maybe I can finish this next Wednesday night, but the Lord has spoken. Make good of the word of God tonight. Act on it now. Move on it now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. On a Wednesday night, God has spoken to us. Let us accept the call to holiness.
I say yes.
If we don't really repent,
Lord, I agree.
Those unsubmitted areas of our heart will take us out, take us other places. But if we repent tonight, if we repent tonight and let God take over our whole heart, then we'll say, I don't know why I ever wanted to leave. I don't know why I ever wanted to get our way. I don't know why I ever wanted to walk away. Let Jesus save you from that darkness. Let Jesus correct your course. Let Jesus true up your path.
I agree.
Oh,
passionately is to be what you call me
Pisgah.
To be.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'll be.
Oh,
I will be what you call me to be. I'll say
the Lord has placed a call of righteousness upon us. Let's answer the call. Let's answer the call. Let's answer the call.
My desire.
This is the oldest church in our area, as far as I know.
Is to be what you
We've got to lead the way of holiness. We've got to lead the way of truth. This church led the way back when there was no truth here. We've got to lead the way of holiness and truth. It's a mandate from God upon this church. We can't rewrite it. We can't change it. I was a pastor called to be here. You're the congregation called to be here. Let's come together and let's lead the way.
Passionately is to be what you call me.
Oh, yeah. Let's show these new converts how to love each other. Oh, let's show these new converts how to live pure and holy and undefiled. These are precious people that God has sent to our church.
That's what I'll be.
Let's love them. Let's protect them. Let's show them how to do it by example. Oh, In Jesus' name.
I agree.
The altar's open tonight. You can get the Holy Ghost. You can repent of sin, be buried in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I agree.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you called. My desire passionately is to be what you called me to be. That's what I'll be. Be what you called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree, my desire passionately is to be what you called me to be. That's what I'll be.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh. Holiness is never something that carnality will like. And if we don't convert ourselves to holiness, we'll look for reasons to try to stay home or go other places. Uncommitted areas of our heart will drag us to a place where we don't really have to commit to God, where we can just continue what we want to do. But church, that's a never a place of safety. Our safety is in a constant, fresh, and a new, genuine relationship with God. Surrendering more of our heart every day. Giving it all to Jesus. Giving it all to Jesus. Where we can finally say with a genuineness, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And I want every one of us to get to that place, because if I can see that on your face, I'll sleep better at night. If I can see that on you, I'll be able to sleep better at night. But until I know that's not in your heart, I'll walk the floor. Us from wrong motives and to deliver us from unrighteousness. Let's be delivered. Let's be healed.